pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening. This is the February 5th, 2024, public meeting of the Planning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, and State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, and that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat and Star Ledger. The notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the township website, the bulletin boards at the front of the municipal building, the front door of the public safety building, and sent to the Hunterdon County Democrat and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Madam Secretary, will you call the roll?
No, for applicants, Butcher, Johnson, Higgins, and Glade.
Mr. Aversa? Twining?
Here.
Mr. Malay?
Here.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here. All right. We have several meeting minutes. I think there was some comments at the end from Bill.
Yeah, I have three different comments to address now.
Okay, so do you want to just tackle them one by one here? November 6th, 2023. They've been posted. There were several minor changes made.
There's actually a typo on page two, which I already gave to Taylor.
So with those minor changes and the typos fixed, is there a motion to approve the November 6th meeting minutes?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. McCaffrey, and whoever you want to choose over there.
Mr. Aversa?
Yes.
Ms. Linehan?
Yes.
Mr. Malay?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. Sinek?
Yes. Those passed. Thank you. The next ones are November 20th. Anything on these?
I just have a couple. On page four, is
it? Yeah.
Page four, is it the Fair Chance Housing Act, or Fair Share Housing Act?
Oh, yeah.
And then on the next one, under Jack Long's comments, in there twice.
Yeah, I did probably take out the chance.
I knew it was wrong, but I didn't know. The other thing is on the fourth paragraph from the bottom, site, I think it should be site, S-I-G-H, in the site, S-I-T-E. That's all I have. Mm-hmm.
I have one question on those minutes. On the reports at the end, every one of them say no report, but I know we gave reports.
I'm just after reading my notes, like I said.
Okay. You wanna pull up? Pull those? We'll just, yeah, it's fine.
What, make, so what, every meeting minutes said?
Yeah, I think it was good. All the meeting minutes had that issue. There were no reports reported.
Well, let's note those changes Ms. Kleinhans made on these 20th ones. Are there anything else on there aside from having Taylor take a look at the reports, and so we'll carry those till the next time. I thought I saw, what was the next one after that, 12-4?
Yes.
Was that, 12-4 was, that was a, wasn't that a, I wasn't there, so I don't, I'm looking at December 4th now.
It was a special meeting.
Right. It was a special meeting because of one thing only.
That resolution. The Ingerman resolution.
No, the fourth I have as...
No, that's December 18th.
Okay. Yeah, the fourth was an extension of time for Chabad. Yes, and I wasn't even at that meeting, so I don't know. You guys can have to comment on that if those look good.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. The only, again, the point that Mr. Reversing made is update
the reports, so table those also.
So table those as well. And then while you're at it on those, if there were some comments from Mr. Glazer, Taylor, that gives you a chance to look at them. 12-4, 12-18.
So there were no reports on December
18th. Yeah, we could.
Just a special meeting to get that
resolution adopted. Yeah, that one's probably, that was just the special meeting, right? So I think that's okay with the no reports. So let's look at that one. So December 18th.
If we had to modify that at some later time because we feel that there's something missing, we
can. Yeah, I think.
It's the minutes.
It's cleaner just to table them. You table November 20th, December 4th. Make the changes. But December 18th,
well, yeah, so table those two.
I'm pretty confident that the 18th.
Yeah, the 18th. It did, because we just did that quick.
You guys came in before the Board of Adjustment meeting.
Right. It was right.
Yeah.
Right.
That meeting was 15 minutes long.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll make the motion.
Yeah, does anybody have any concerns with the, yeah?
Actually, I did have one. I'm sorry. I take that back. Page 2. It says Mr. Higgins and Mr. Malay excused. Make that recused.
Okay, recused.
Right. All right, so with that.
Now I'll make the amendment motion.
A second.
Hey, wait a minute. Did you refuse?
No, for part of it. There were two.
I understand.
I recused from one.
One of the two.
One of the two, correct.
No, there was only one.
I was present on the
18th. Yeah, but you.
So, I think you're conflating minutes.
Yeah, I'm looking. The 18th here has Chabad, and it has Ingerman.
Resolutions. So, if anyone had to recuse of one of those resolutions, you should not vote on the minutes. You should refuse from voting on the minutes. This is one of the few times you should abstain.
Well, I don't think you're going to get anybody there because... Well, go ahead. Let me look. So the three that have to abstain are me, Higgins, and Malay.
So you lose Kevin and me.
Yeah. Okay.
You have a quorum to do business. Just because you can adopt the resolution and you can adopt minutes.
So if any item is on the minutes, even with other things, your recommendation is to abstain.
Refusing part of the meeting, having to approve minutes that are on the thing you refuse from.
All right, they put me back for abstaining on if I was on the other one that had a Chabad on it.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't think. Yeah, I thought one piece.
I don't think I've ever thought that.
No, but that's okay. Yeah. So that's with you three.
I'm going to approve the minutes of the 18th,
12-18. Yeah. When you call for your vote?
He.
Yeah, you're going to call everyone, right? People are going to vote. Yes. Those are the people that are going to call everybody, yeah. Let them, they'll tell you if they're going to yes or not abstain.
Mr. Versa?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Malay?
Abstain.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. Sinek?
Abstain. All right. And now, the last ones we have, let's check these out for reports, are the reorg meeting on January 8th. So there are some reports on here. Yeah. So, any other, looking at the reorg meeting minutes.
I have a couple of comments. If you look at the roll call on the bottom of page 3, it doesn't match with the motion, so you've got to switch the two X's. On the bottom table, it should be McCaffrey second and Klein's first motion.
Well, why don't we... If there's a couple, anything else while we got people looking at it? There's a couple of things on here I think I would like to address that we probably can't do here. So let's add this to the tabled one, make it easier.
Yep.
And I think this was one that had some comments from Bill, yep, too. So let's. So we did the November 6th and the December 18th, and we'll come back for the 20th. November 20th, December 4th, and January 8th.
January
27th.
8th. 8th. I know, I just, that's why I just got it. Okay. Thank you. We're just trying to catch up 1 minute, so it's, bear with us. Now, we wanted to talk about some fairly minor updates to the 2024 rules and regs.
So Tom McCaffrey sent in, or did no one else send in?
Yeah, when we talked, there was really the one which was the easiest and most concise was Tom's. So if you want to, let's maybe address that one and put it in.
Just read your
email that I sent you, which I can. The essence of the change was that
planting season is listed as April 15th to November 15th.
Right, I have it right here. So it's page 12, item 2:4-9, number 3, says landscaping, and now I won't read the whole paragraph, but it said, if the applicant applies for a certificate of occupancy during a non-planting season, and I suggested we clarify, that means November 16th to April 14th of the following year. That's all we changed. So it spells out what the non-planting season is. It's the only change we made.
Yes. No, when we talked about it, it was illogical just defining it in there a little more.
So otherwise, what's non-planting season to you would be different to manager.
Right.
And it makes a difficult job over loss.
So what we did is, at the reorg, we went ahead and approved the rules as written, saying we go back and look. We wanted to make sure that that was the real date, knowing what the plant season is.
So, make a motion to
revise the.
Approve the 2024 rules and regulations as amended. So, by inserting and I'll produce.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Aversa?
Yes.
Ms. Finance?
Yes.
Mr. Malay?
Yes.
Mr.
McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. Sinek?
Yes. Good. Thank you. I think we also, there was a bit of discussion at reorg when we were doing the professional appointments, and I think I caused some of that confusion. I apologize. But we ended up appointing the conflict attorney. It was the firm. Yeah. And we were thinking we always use, what's his name?
But he's not, Joe was having a conflict attorney. He's from my firm. He fills in when I can't make it because of scheduling. We need a conflict attorney in case I have an appearance of a conflict or a conflict of interest. You know him from my firm.
So we were all set to pull it out, but we didn't. We left it in. Mr. Higgins had that eureka. So I think we did, when this was done, he was in with all of the with the previous ones.
I haven't had a conflict
in
years, but that's why you want to have
right. That's what just
the beginning. So you don't have to scramble around and have it.
So we're set. We should be set with that. Now, all right, now we're at the action-packed part of the meeting. We've got resolutions. We've got resolution 2023-05, Clinton Agricultural Associates, LLC, which is 1101 Route 22, Block 7, Lot 3, application 201314. And this is modifying conditions 15 and 16 to extend the time in which applicant must obtain permits and certificate of occupancies for phases 1 and 2.
And
to extend the time within which to complete the paved parking area beyond the extensions granted in Resolution 2018-12.
And there are four members who are eligible on this one, Aversa, Malay, Sinead, and Mike.
I think the last version was version 4 that was circulated around that was
correct.
Agreeable to everybody with, yep. with comments, et cetera. So, is there amongst those eligible folks?
I'll make a second.
Thank you, Mr. Aversa and Mr. Malay.
And after the roll call, you don't get it.
After roll call, please. everybody who's here,
just
eligible.
Mr. Aversa?
Yes.
Mr. Sume?
Yes.
Mr. Malay?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Good. Okay, we've got a public here. We've got the public hearing. We have a couple here. Yeah. I'm going to recuse from the last one, so I may leave. In the interest of, do we want to talk about vouchers for a quick minute beforehand? And I also may want to change the order here just so we can address another one here. So let's just quickly. I know we got the vouchers. They just came out.
I looked through the first set.
There were some duplicates there.
Yes, I saw Mr. Drillstone name more times than I expected.
Was that one better?
Yeah. I think it doesn't have a lot of those, the purchase order. Right. I noticed there was a couple in there from ELMP, and I don't know why they were in there. We don't pay those.
Yeah, I don't.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would say those were probably got in there from a different. And then there was, I think there was also, there was one in there for, I think, a planning board meeting. Was the greenhouses? Hyolus? Is that us or is that?
Oh, the name? Was there perhaps a.
Was there a.
Review, kind of
review, yeah.
Review?
I don't know.
No, that was just. It was engineering.
Yeah.
I think they were seeking closeout on releases.
It would have been from something from us.
That would have been okay. That would have been charged to the escrow account.
So why don't we? As long as that's, I don't think there's a harm if it's for escrow, and it was for ours. Let's include it.
I'm looking at it. It was received on the 13th of December.
Let's take it's, that one out.
I would take it out. It's addressed to the 100 and Sidon. I just don't know why
just,
we have
it. Just take that one out.
Like I said, they sent it to the wrong place.
Right.
You guys didn't say that.
No, that's why I'm pointing it out. So let's pull those. So let's do the vouchers.
You might not have realized
what happened to the PO.
Yeah, let's do the, I've looked at the vouchers, sorry, go ahead, Sue.
There's a couple of vouchers that may be traveling.
Yeah, but those ones, he was traveling to the Highlands, which we've talked about is okay. They don't charge for travel to our meters.
And we cleared that old one then.
Yes, well, that was in here too. So I look at these, I'm good with the exception of those ELMP will take out.
So I'm going to make a proposition because I know how it works at the Board of Adjustment and it could work here. I'm going to make the motion to approve the vouchers subject to the review of the chairman.
Yeah, that's fine.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Aversa?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Malay?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. Simon?
Yes. Thank you. All right, so now we got the public hearings. I'm going to do one thing just to clear the agenda a little bit. There was a site plan waiver request for Blossom Hill Plaza. I'm just, Madam. No one says they're here. Let me ask the question. Were the escrow paid?
No, there's not an escrow.
All right, or taxes that you're aware of. All right, so with...
Did you send something out to the applicant?
To the attorney, yes. All
right, which attorney was that?
Daniel
Toon. And they're not here, so I... And what did your communication to Mr. Toon say?
Letting him know that the escrow account needed to be opened, the ordinance section in which the application fee was, that he was okay,
And if they weren't paid,
yes,
then why do the board looking to hear the application this evening?
No action. It would be listed on the agenda, but no action.
Right. So let's just.
Tell me why they're not here.
Yeah. Let's hold it until they're in good standing, and then we'll.
Now why don't we?
So now let's
just for the next meeting. Let's keep it on the agenda.
Right.
There's no time limitation within which the board has to decide a site plan waiver. So there's no extension to have to get, but I would just.
Right. And just let them know tomorrow or whenever that's what. So now we've got two hearings, which I assume most everybody is here for one or the other. We've got the New York Life Insurance Company and we have Chabad. So let's start with the New York Life Insurance Company, 111 Cokesbury Road, Block 3, Lot 17, 26 and 30. The applicant is seeking approval for amendment to a site plan for preliminary and final major site plan for replacement of a substation.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Brian Tipton. I'm here for the law firm of Fleury, Perucci, Stein, Hart, Capelli, and Tipton, and here for New York Life Insurance Company. We're here tonight for an amended preliminary and final site plan application, major site plan application. This one we originally started as a site plan waiver application, and it has turned into this based on your professional's review. Properties at 110 Cokesbury Road, we're basically upgrading an existing on-site electric.
You can all sit down, by the way. You don't have
to. Yeah, grab another chair if you need to.
Okay.
And before you start, I want to get all the experts that are going to participate in this application sworn. So I see two people here. Yes. Okay. Right hand raised. Who on? Who? So, yes. Yeah. So, you all swear or affirm that the testimony you're going to give is entitled to the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, starting there?
Yes.
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 Now, for the record, you identify yourself, spell your last name, and give your relationship to the applicant
or
the board as the case may be.
Stan Wojciechowski, Wojciechowski. I'm with Barry Eisen and Associates, the civil engineer.
Can we call you Stan?
You may call him Stan. I'm just glad I didn't have to introduce him.
My name is Michael Bertollo, B-E-R-T-O-L-L-O. I'm an electrical engineer with JBME.
Jim Manzucco, M-A-Z-Z-U-C-C-O, with Bose Burton Company, Boards Landscape Architect. Larry Clevier, P-L-E-V-I-D-R, who's not with the home board here.
David Novak, N-O-V-A-K, refers to associates, filling in for Tom Barron tonight, before the planning board.
So yes, we're here. This is a replacement of an existing on-site electrical substation and related improvements. One primary, there's two variances of note. One is going to be a setback from the road. It's supposed to be nothing less than 250 feet for accessory structures. We are at the 75-foot mark, and the reason for that is that's where the existing substation is. So we just wanted to keep everything together to make it a simpler application. Second is for barbed wire fencing around the fencing around this electrical equipment because of the for safety purposes. So you'll hear testimony about both of those variance requests.
Okay, there was a late-breaking memo from the planner's office that called out. I don't know. Did you get a late-breaking?
I received it. My intention was to have my engineer testify about it. We don't think it's a variance. I did see it, and I saw it was referenced as
an existing case.
Yes. So the third potential variance is there's a blast wall that we're installing between the electrical substations, the new and the old, and this wall is 12 feet high, where your ordinances only allow walls to be 6 feet high. The test, we're going to provide some testimony that we believe it's actually an accessory structure, not a wall, but we'll get into that. If the board decides it's a variance, we will be seeking that variance relief as well for safety purposes.
Right, because the height limit on an accessory structure is 16 feet, right?
I believe, actually.
In this district, I believe that the height of an accessory structure will have to be the same as the maximum height of rental buildings.
45, right? Yeah.
Okay, so if an accessory structure it doesn't exceed height, if it's a wall that exceeds height, then someone there is going to be over there.
Correct.
Okay, got it.
My witnesses already were identified at this point. I think we'll just have Stan's going to go first.
And one other procedural thing, in the benefit of anyone in the public was interested, prior to 2022, the site plan waiver ordinance said that, in fact, this applicant previously got a C variance or something and a site plan waiver, but the ordinance was amended in 2022 to say that if you need a variance, you can't have a site plan waiver and you have to apply for amended site plan approval, and that's why you've done that, correct?
Yes, correct. Yeah. So at this time, Stan, could you provide the board with your education qualifications to be here today presenting?
Yes, I'm a 1988 graduate from Rutgers College of Engineering. I have been a New Jersey professional engineer since 1995. I'm also a certified municipal engineer.
And have you testified before boards like this in the state of New Jersey?
Yes.
Approximately how many times?
Countless.
Does the board have any questions on Stan's qualifications at this time?
Municipalities in Hunterdon County, have you testified as a...
I have not testified in Hunterdon County.
Okay. How about Somerset County?
No, not in Somerset either.
Well, which counties have you testified in?
Gloucester County, Cumberland County, Salem County, Camden County, Burlington County, Atlantic County, Cape May County. So, <Okay. laughs> you got it.
It's your first time in North Jersey.
Yes.
Yeah, any questions or concerns? Anything from anybody?
Questions on qualifications from the public.
All right, we'll accept.
Question on qualifications from someone in the public.
My name is Sandy Joseph McClone. I'm an adjacent property owner to this, and also have a career of experience in the electrical industry. And I do have a question for the
questions.
Yeah.
This is questions on his qualifications as a civil engineering expert.
Yeah, no concern with his qualification. Yeah, we'll hear you shortly. Okay, so we'll accept his qualification.
Okay, thank you. So at this time, I'm just going to have Stan go through the existing conditions and the proposed improvements.
So the existing site is basically, the entire site is for the New York Life Insurance building. There is a transformer station that's in the front of the site. It's been there since, I believe, like 1970, in the 1970s. It has existed. My understanding, and we have an electrical engineer back to understand, to describe it, but the equipment that is within the substation is at its end of life cycle. So we have been, we were commissioned to put together a plan that would basically show the, how to do the site plan work so that they could add the new transformers, the new equipment, while keeping the old stuff in place, because you can't take the old stuff offline because then there's no electricity going to anybody.
Excuse me, sir, if I could just interrupt for a second. Do you have a copy of the plans we can look at, the 12 pages? I don't have a copy.
I have those. There's some in the box.
I saw a few pages.
Yeah,
I don't have drawings. I didn't see the big picture showing the dimensions of the concrete pad. I don't know why I wrote it here, but before you guys get too deep into this, I want to be able to look at what you're describing.
Yeah, can you get a plan when you're describing the site?
So I thought we would be able to hook up our computer.
Okay. You didn't bring any paper copies?
No, I did not. I just thought that we had submitted enough copies for this.
Well, if you have electronic copies, I guess you can mail.
Would an HDMI cable
come off this? I would think an HDMI would work.
This is an HDMI.
I have the electrical. Yeah, I have the
electrical. You can
turn that on
inside it. Fire. You know how to turn this guy on?
Not a clue.
I brought my paper set with me, so he can use mine. Just confirm that this is a paper set of plans.
I have two pages. I have the various plan. Okay, two variants. This is the last one.
Correct.
That's
the structural. Here we go.
The site plan is a Dropbox.
All 12 pages.
But the site plan is 12 pages. That was the last
one. Yeah, the keys. I think these from the Dropbox.
Using electrolyte, this is the reason 6, which is dated September, I believe, right here. No, these are dated originally dated August 7, 2023. Can someone check to see if that said has the revision 6?
August 7, 2023, right now.
Yeah.
August 7, 2023, that's it. That is the term.
So this is the existing site the way it is right now.
Can you identify the page for the record?
This is drawing number EF1. For the record, pull out all the page numbers of that first set of drawings. EF1, ST1, DE1, DE2. That's the first set of drawings. And there's a cover sheet.
Correct.
TS1.
Correct.
The question that was raised by board member McCaffrey was, if you look at the plan set, it says there's 13 sheets. The sheets that we have are sheets 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. That's what he asked. Where are sheets 6 to 13?
So sheet 6 does not exist. It is it's reserved for future detail.
What about 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13?
So 7 is the notes detail that you identified as DE2.
Can you come take a look at my paper set of plans?
Sure.
The same ones that we have here on the even the board box.
Okay.
Well, tell me, fine.
Do you have 13?
No.
13 seats?
No, it says 13 on the bottom.
Yeah, I have several submissions, and I'm wondering whether some didn't change, and that's why you only got revised on certain sheets. So the electrical drawings look like they're last dated February 16, 2023. Division 4. Correct. So the electrical ones are EMB, and then 002 is the title sheet, 001, 002, 003, 004, and 005. Is that what you have? All right. So
I think that is the case. There was a revised PDF for all of the site plans, and the prior PDF submission did include the electrical sheet. And that's not in the drop.
And a lot of error in the box.
But the electricals are their own set. We're still missing, unless they're from the original submission, sheets 6, well, it says there is no 6, sheets 7 to 13 of the civil plans.
So, actually, if you take a look at the plan index on the title sheet, it identifies the 13 sheets.
I understand.
And it includes the structural sets. Those 13 include the structural.
And the structural set is 2 drawings, no?
I'm sorry, the structural and electrical. That's where we get to.
You didn't number them on the drawing.
Correct.
Okay. We know what we're working with.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So once again, this is the site right here. It shows the wires coming in from the streets, goes through these towers, and then it goes down onto the existing substations and transformers.
This is existing?
This is existing.
Okay.
So the proposed is to identify a new transformer in this location, and then to, again, I believe we're abandoning all of this back here. So this will be all this
left. Just the front parts then.
Just the front part. The front. Just over here
is
getting abandoned, and everything from here back will remain.
What sheet is this?
This is CSP-1.
SP-1. So where are the wires still come in where they were coming in?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And isn't that the point you said is getting abandoned, the front?
The only part of that, excuse me for interrupting, the only part of the equipment that's going to be removed is going to be the transformer itself.
I have a suggestion. Why don't we switch the order? Have the electrical engineer go first, describe, because this is an electrical project, right?
Pretty much, yes.
And the civil engineer is basically supporting what they want to do with electrical, correct?
Sure.
Come on up and let's get your qualifications on the records, Mike.
Sure.
So can you provide your education and employment background?
I have a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering from Newark College of Engineering. I have a master's degree from New Jersey Institute of Technology. I'm actually a licensed electrician in New Jersey, and I'm a licensed professional engineer in like 10 different states.
And when did you get those 2 degrees
right now? 81 was my bachelor's, and 1985 was my master's.
And have you testified before in any New Jersey?
Yes, I testified a few times, primarily in North Jersey, mostly in Bergen County.
Anyone in the audience have any questions on his qualifications?
Anyone here? All right. You're good to go.
Okay.
We accept them as an electrical engineering expert.
Wow. All right. So can you, Mike, can you tell the board what why New York Life is doing this and provide some of these details that have already been
presented. So primarily what we have an existing transformer that's in the existing substation is at the end of its useful life. It's over 40 years old. It's due to be replaced. We're starting to see some evidence of rusting and some obvious things on the outside of the transformer case that cannot be repaired. Obsolete parts are not available. It's just time to replace the equipment. In order to do that, we're looking to construct a new pad area to put the new transformer in so we can leave the equipment operational, keep the building energized until we get the new equipment in place. Once it's in place, then we swing over the incoming power to it and refeed the existing switchgear that's in the same yard. At that point, we'll be able to remove the existing transformer. So it's basically, I'm sorry.
Question for you. You mentioned a new pad. Are you going to testify to the dimensions of the new pad, or would that be up to Stan to do?
Stan can testify to that, but we can go over why the dimensions are what they are. Okay. If that makes things clear for everybody, I'm happy to do that.
Yeah, in the layman's terms, what's the dimensions of the existing generator? What's the dimensions of the new generator?
I was asking about the pad, because you mentioned the pad.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'm asking, but I
want
to
know also about
you want to ask something different.
Yeah. So just say the dimensions of the existing transformer and the dimensions of the new transformer are basically the same. The shape is a little different because the new design is different, but the dimensions are basically the same.
So why do you have to add a new pad?
Because we can't take the old transformer out until the new transformer is installed in operation.
So you're getting the same output from both transformers?
Yes. Yeah, we're not increasing the size. We're just replacing it in kind, so to speak, with the newer design. And again,
so the capacity remains the same.
Capacity remains the same.
So the easy transfer from one to the other without downtime.
Correct. And the pad size that we're looking at that Stan has designed is basically the minimum pad size we need to maintain the clearances that are required by code, electrical code, between the transformer itself and the fencing that has to go around it for protection.
The new pad, the new generator, because of changes in code, is that pad actually a little bigger than the old pad?
No.
Same size?
No, it's approximately the same size.
Okay. When you say approximately, how many feet is
it? At the standard, both about 25 by 25.
Yeah, they're both 25 by 25.
And as part of the upgrade that we're doing in order to provide additional protection of the equipment in the yard, we're adding an additional structure, which will be the blast wall between the transformers. So if we did have an equipment failure, and if it was catastrophic for whatever reason, the other equipment would be protected by the blast wall.
But that isn't needed long term, because you're going to turn the old one off, right? Or am I missing something?
The blast wall is going to protect the new transformer from the existing switchgear transformer. So we're adding another level of safety to the substation area.
You only need the glass wall until you turn the one on and get rid of the old one?
No, you're saying it's within, there's two transformers or there's two switches or something.
Yes, and I can show that in a drawing when we're ready to look at it, but I can point that out to you.
That'll be good. I have a quick question. Just existing conditions, does the current transformer pad take into consideration spill containment?
Yes, and we're going to remove that. The existing spill containment now is an area under the transformer, like a void under the transformer, which is really a pain in the neck to maintain because of that type of construction. The new pad that we're putting in is a little bit different. It's a surface type moat, so it's all above ground with curving around to be able to contain the oil from the transformer should there be a leak. And there's a drain with a petrol plug in it so that the drain is open so the water can drain out all the time. If it senses all of the plug closes and contains the oil, that's the latest technology for that.
So does this new pad is an improvement and it's better for the environment?
Definitely a better approach. It's much cleaner. We don't have residual water in the transformers and things like that. It's all easy to maintain, easy to clean.
Okay, so I don't know I understand that your existing pad is 75 feet from property. So the theory is, if you're putting in a new pad, if you had 75 feet before, keep it 75 feet now. Could you pull it back further than 75 feet?
No, if I could show you the drawing, where that comes from.
I think that, Stan, is it?
This might be
for the... Let me ask Stan this question while we're on it. So Can you explain the difference between the improvements versus the existing on their distance from the street?
So the existing is actually less than 75 feet. So the proposed is going back to 75 feet. This distance is about 50 feet. The existing is off of the roadway. We're proposing to go back actually 75.7 feet.
And I think the next question then was, okay, can you go
further?
Why can't you go further back?
That would be the issue we have here. Again, our incoming from the utility company comes in this way. This is not first structure that's existing. It's going to remain. Right now we're feeding a transformer that's in this area. But this goes away and the transformer goes here. In order to move this back, this whole substation would have to be relocated to be able to do that. And getting back to the question of the blast, well, right now the transformer sits here, we switch gear here, the secondary transformer here. There's no protection between this right now. So we're looking to improve that condition. And this new transformer goes in on the blast one over here to isolate this from that catastrophic event.
Now you're moving it closer to the neighboring property, however, right?
This just in this dimension.
Yeah, and it's still over 200 feet away.
So wasn't there a question on the, are you doing new track, what do you call them, trapezes or new things coming in?
There's two structures here. This remains, but there's two new structures here. The man would think needs, it's two of the design required, with high voltage meters into that transformer. But the blast furnace that's here, there's a couple of steel stanchions at the same elevation, 12 feet, and they'll support those coming to the feet into the transformer.
And there's another transformer existing on the site in the year.
That was replaced about years ago back in 1996. I think that was replaced.
So what's getting turned off and not used?
There's a transformer in here that shows it's just insufficient. That's what's being turned off. And once the new feeders are tied in here, this is tied back into our switch gear, and that transformer will go away. And this will just be part of the switch gear.
Which one of you guys can answer the following question? What's the difference? Why is a blast wall is a wall, correct?
Yes.
Okay. It's a structural wall.
Yes.
To contain a blast.
Yes.
Okay. What's the difference, other than it being a structural wall, what's the difference between that and a perimeter wall made of block, for example, and brick and looking fancy?
The difference is the block wall is going to be concrete reinforced.
I understand, but I'm saying if a wall is an accessory structure and there's an ordinance that says a wall can't be over how many feet?
Six feet.
Why would a glass wall not be subject to the same 6 foot wall limitation? Why wouldn't you need a variance for a glass wall if you need a variance for some other concrete decorative wall?
So the retaining wall.
As I look at the discussion of that point, it says a combination of material. This would be from 165.117.1.2.
Hold on, 117.1.
Or is this under the definitions?
Well, there's two separate definitions. There's one established for accessory structures in the municipal land use law, and I am checking right now to see if we have a separate one that could be the same definition.
Because Ordinance Section 165-117.1D governs fences in non-residential districts.
So I think the structure is defined up in the definitions. There's a combination of materials.
Hold on. In the definition, what are you looking at? Structure?
Yes, structure.
So the question is going to be, a fence is a structure, correct?
There's a definition of structure that's separate from fence.
So read the definition of structure.
A combination of materials forming a construction for occupancy, use, or ornamentation, whether installed on, above, or below the surface of a parcel of land.
Okay.
So we're saying it's for the use of this site.
No, but a decorative wall would be a structure, correct?
Depending on its use, yes.
A decorative block wall, an ornamental block wall would be a structure, correct?
Correct.
And both boards, the planning board and the board of adjustment, have always interpreted walls as also being fences. So if they've interpreted things like structural retaining walls, environmental walls, as being subject to the location So I assume they also considered it. Sure,
well, I was, we were looking at it at the use of the property.
Right.
The wall is part of the use of the property. So we're not saying, hey, we're putting a wall up or a fence up in order to screen or provide any other
type. Even a screen wall from the use of the property?
A screening wall would. Well, no. I mean, a screening wall would be to provide screening from the neighbor.
That's part of the use of the property, though, to screen people from seeing in. Right?
Yeah, I think what he's saying, if I can, you know, clarify it, is that the functionality of this wall is, it goes hand in hand with the use and purpose of the transformer and electrical components, as opposed to something to screen. It's very specific to this.
I understand, but the ordinance section governing the height doesn't talk about just screening. It doesn't distinguish between the screening. It doesn't distinguish between the caning. It doesn't distinguish between anything.
So I have a question. It's a rectangular shape. The walls are connected.
No, it's a single. It's a single.
So it's only, so when I'm looking at this, this is just a pad. The wall is just on the one side.
Yes.
Okay.
It looks like it's L shape.
Yeah. The wall is here.
Yes, L shape.
So it is L shape. But it's not a rectangle.
If the board wants to go this route, then we'll go the variance route. I don't want to. Yeah.
Ask me a question and tell me how we interpret it.
I guess what I would ask Mike is, can you explain why it needs to be 12 feet high?
Boom. That's the question. The reason is that height is to protect it due to the height of the existing transformer and connections that are in there. Six-foot wall is protecting halfway up the elevation, so the idea is to be able to protect and isolate this equipment from that equipment.
And this is a good practice in building substations.
Yes, we do that all the time. That's required on the substations.
Yes. So my question would be, why do you put a wall in just one section and not around the whole building?
Because really, look, there's so much distance here, we have a failure. There's nothing here to do it. Here, we're trying to keep that blast from getting to this equipment.
You don't have to worry about residents. I know there's a school north of there, so that's not a concern.
That's not really a concern. It's not just, it's more that the failure here and what will happen. Sometimes it's not a fire.
So, Mike, if there's a failure, the parameter or the radius around it is no more than approximately how many feet?
Probably less than 50.
Okay, and there's no structures or anything on that side where there's no wall that could be impacted by any type of catastrophe.
Technically, it's left wall from the front yard. That's why we're limited to 6 feet?
Yes. Mike, can you also advise the board as to why you need to have barbed wire on the fence surrounding this new transformer?
The reason we do that because of the voltage levels in here, we take 35 kV, bring back down the bolts coming.
Can you speak a little louder?
Sorry. We're looking at 35,000 volts coming into this transformer, and we look at 15,000 leaving this transformer, and if we do those voltage levels, we want hierarchy. Value and security around it. 6 foot fence is easier to get over.
So you'd rather have someone get ripped up on the fence than electrocuted?
Yes.
Question. What type of relief would be required for this? Is this
all C. It's all C variance.
This is a C?
That's right. They're all accessory structures.
Yes.
So the NLUL says a D1 variance is needed for a prohibited use or principal structure. So if the accessory structure is a C, if it's a principal structure, it would be a D, but
the height.
But the use, right, the height. The height of a principal structure. This is not a principal structure. Right. The height of an accessory structure is a C.
Okay.
If the accessory use is prohibited, the NLUL, if the D1 talks about, doesn't say principal use, it says use. So if you have a prohibited principal use or a prohibited accessory use, you need a D1 variant. If you have a prohibited accessory, if you have an accessory structure that exceeds a height of C, if you have a principal structure that exceeds a height of D.
D6.
And just a question, is the barbed wire or fence height, is that any part of electrical?
No. It's really, this is to dissuade people from climbing the fence, correct? And you also have non-climbable fence with, you know, the small one-inch mesh?
When we identified the slats within there, so the slats are going to make it difficult to climb, like, chain link fence.
Plastic slats?
Yes.
I want to say from the 35,000 volts electricity. I wouldn't use traditional chain link or plastic slats. I would use, you know, the one-inch mesh. But that's...
And I will say that currently there is chain link fence, no slats, with the barbed wire on top in the existing condition.
I understand, but if you're doing this for safety, you should... Has anyone contemplated putting non-climbable one-inch mesh fencing there instead of traditional chain link fence with plastic slats?
So chain link is just a tighter mesh.
Yeah, tighter mesh.
Yeah.
We have no objection to doing it the way you suggested there, and to make it so it's consistent with the rest of it there.
Yep. I was gonna leave this to the planner. Had questions about the existing conditions and the privacy slats on the fencing. But let's make sure we get that.
The non-climbable one-inch mesh fencing shall be used. If you want to put slats in it, you put slats in it. People generally don't put slats.
Yeah, it's hard to put them in.
Yeah, we don't have a problem having no slats, because I did see that reference from the plan this afternoon. So we can just agree, no slats, smaller mesh.
And black vinyl covers non-climbable one-inch mesh fence. Yes.
Yes.
And that's on everything then.
Okay.
Okay. Anything more on? I'm just sort of looking at that. You maybe want to go over the planners. They mentioned landscaping and lighting and signage. Did maybe comment on those?
Stan, why don't you take the planning comments? We'll start with signage. I don't believe we're planning any signage.
By the way, you're not off his latest February 5th.
I'm actually on the earlier afternoon one, because I didn't have the time to print the other one. But I think signage, lighting, landscaping hasn't changed.
It would be the same. Yes.
So
no additional signage.
Can you testify on signage, lighting, and landscaping for the board?
So there is no signage proposed. There is no lighting proposed. And we did augment some of the buffers in front of the front of what's actually the existing area where it's at, so that can be screened from sight.
When you said you did, it's not on the plans.
There are two doorway spruces called out right here.
Okay, so when you're saying this, Tom's comment was no additional landscape was proposed. Your response is we're giving you two Norway spruces.
Correct.
When do we get the...
I haven't seen this plan, so I can't really comment on it. But, I have some other questions.
That's fine. And there was a comment from the Environmental Commission about Norway spruces or something.
Yeah, the Environmental Commission not being an appropriate plant choice, and that there is a list of appropriate plants that is not consulted.
So do you have the Environmental Commission?
I do not.
January 3, they say the applicant, they picked up your two Norway spruces. The applicant is proposing two Norway spruce trees, presumably to match other Norway spruce trees found on the property. These are non-native invasive species as reported in the Invasive Plant Atlas of the United States. And they give you a website. We recommend changing the new trees to be planted to other native evergreen options listed in the official list of plants found in Ordinance Section 165-77-S. And we hand this over to Jim so he can do the take the landscape from there. But so Tom, you get two Norway spruces. The Environmental Commission didn't.
Well, he might not have missed it
because
I don't have a plan that shows landscaping either.
Yeah. So what plan shows landscaping?
What's, can you identify?
Is that the existing plan?
This is proposed.
So which sheet is that?
This is sheet SP1.
Clarify something. The plans I'm looking in the box account don't match what's up on the screen. The I see don't show those two Norway spruce. So you guys have
right.
Something different than that.
So this was revised on August 7th.
We have that revision 6 from August 7th.
Yes.
That's what I have. Now, the reason I have these is because I told the applicant that when they submitted to the office, I wanted to have them directly submitted to me to make sure I had it. But let's see what
they're on this one.
They're on the office set. But they're not in the box again.
So how about what? Jim, take a look at it for a minute.
Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, we're going to take any recommendations.
Yeah, that's what I'm. What I wanted to do was propose that our landscape expert looks at it, gives some comments, works with you guys.
Definitely
I think you
that.
Understand the concern to have some screening because that's
yes,
front yard.
Yes. Yeah, we weren't aware of the environmental review, so now that can get to us.
Right.
But it's okay. We'll work through it.
And Division 6, and these plans are August 7, 2023.
The plants here do, it does show signage, but they're placards, like the safety signage. So there is some
yeah, system. I'm not considering that as the signage, as in.
It's not a monument sign, but
yeah,
it's.
Yeah, but just to understand, if we're, I mean, I wrote down from what you said, I wrote one condition, no signage, another condition, no lighting. The placard signs you have a problem as a zoning officer and a construction official.
So but you gotta describe a placard sign. Yeah. High voltage, keep out, okay. Danger. Would that get shocked? Like, yeah. I mean, there should be. You should have a. That's a safety issue. It's
well,
not.
I would think that's like code required. Wouldn't it be? I mean, to have warning signs of that.
Yeah, we want to have something.
Yeah, like just say that. That
yeah. I guess I saw it as a construction office review requirement that would happen post this board, but if we want to, why don't we...
Just say required, safety required.
We can have any signs other than construction code required signs.
Or not.
We want to. Okay.
That's
right.
That's right.
So while Jim's looking at it, Larry, do you have anything else or planning?
I need the memo.
Yeah.
Yes, with respect to your memo, I can address that. And we're going to deal, it's technical comments A through J.
Right.
We are going to comply with everything where you ask for information to be put on the plans. Correct. There were a couple of questions. I think you had A, D, and F. I don't know if you want that. Any of those addressed right now?
Yeah.
You have your own notes.
Wow.
So the two proposed storm drains in the concrete area. These are there are storm drains that are in there. Obviously, it's in a containment area for. So that if there's any leakage from the transformers. So they have these little things called petro plugs, which will keep the A. three technical review comments, letter A.
So is there a necessity that you're going to address or not?
No, we're agreeing that we will put in the top hat.
I think the A is referring to the conflict between the overhead.
We're going to take a look. Yeah. There's a potential.
Put it this way.
Sorry.
You don't have to, anything you agree, you don't have to mention. It's only the ones you don't agree to or the ones that
are. Well, in actuality, we agree to all 10 of them.
Yep, we agree to everything.
Good.
Anything else on planning side there? I'm just trying to go back to Jim, give him a couple of minutes, and then that's the last issue. You good generally otherwise?
Yes, I'm good otherwise. The comment has been validated February 2024. Really want to focus on fencing, landscaping, lighting, signage, and just the rest happening. One last question for clarification. So just making sure at the end of the day, should the board approve this application, there's 815 square feet of new impervious coverage. That includes the old pad being removed as well?
Correct.
Okay. Otherwise, that's all I have on the board. Yes, sir.
You don't have a plan, right?
That's correct.
Right now, the existing setback for the concrete pad is 50 feet, and they're proposing 75 feet as a setback for the new one. Would you say that that's an improvement for the plan?
That is absolutely an improvement.
And you heard the testimony about Margaret Camp going further back to 75 feet, correct?
Yes.
So, what's your opinion on a C1 versus a C2 variance in setback? In C2, because of they're improving the situation?
Well, yes, I think you look at it either way. So, the C1 would be the physical features test. They're dealing with older infrastructure here, not 50 years old. So, they are constrained partly by where that existing infrastructure is. They need to line up, otherwise, the equipment will not work, based on the testimony we heard. And you can also look at it as a public benefit to the C2 test. That setback from the front lot line is increasing, so that nonconformity plus will still be there is being reduced.
So I don't think it is. The existing fence that's about 50 feet is too remain. That's part of the overall enclosure.
What do you say that the existing concrete fence?
That's within that fenced enclosure.
Oh, is the existing fence 75 feet back? Go look at the
I thought that's where the electrics come in.
The existing fence for the accessory structure currently is not getting any less than what it is right now on the street. They're bumping it out to the north.
Right.
Is the pad being removed behind the fence?
The pad is within the fenced area, yeah. The whole substation is enclosed with perimeter fencing.
Are they removing any of the pad, the old pad?
Yeah. Therefore, being done inside.
Right.
But the accessory structure, where it sits, where I would think the setback would go to, is not changing. That right now is they're just bumping out a portion of the
new. Right. Correct.
All right.
We have an existing concrete pad to be removed. Shown here. Shown here. Shown here.
Those existing paths are being removed with existing equipment.
And the bottom line is, you're not improving the setback, but you're not making it any worse. So I assume
correct.
That the new opinion will be a C1.
I would say it's a C1, at least with that front yard setback. Yes.
Okay. What about the height of the glass wall, which is more unfortunately interpreted?
In other words, you should read that as a fence and a wall. Everything is essentially accessory structure. If you look at the definitions that are provided for municipal places law, it's an accommodation materials forming a construction for occupancy and useful ornamentation, whether it's built on, above, or below the surface of the parcel plan. That's essentially everything. Funding for getting it out of accessory structure.
And I assume that you would say that a C2 variance. Because this is going to be a health and safety improvement with the glass wall.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. And what was the other one?
The barbed wire.
The barbed wire. That's in connection now with the smaller slab fence. That's just for safety and security. I think the board can run over the fence to see as well. We're on that success.
Yep. Anyone have any questions for our plan?
That sounds right. Okay. So I know Jim, you're kind of on the spot here. Can you look at
where's I'd like to know what Norway spruces are based.
It depends on what source you look at. We typically use the New Jersey Strike Force test list for New Jersey, and it's not on their list.
Okay.
It is on the list that they mentioned, the Environmental Commission, the list they mentioned. it is listed on their list as invasive. We have accepted Norway spruce in the past as a evergreen tree in the township, mostly because it's very durable, it's hardy, and it's deer resistant.
What's your recommendation?
I don't have any objection to using Norway spruce. I do have other questions, though, about the access to the site. I'm assuming that's remaining the same, that gravel driveway going in there, and that double gate is going to remain. And now that new transformer is basically going to be in sight line of that gravel driveway. Before we had some visiting plantings screening the transformer, now it's going to be, it seems like it's going to be an open view to the street.
Anybody respond to that?
It's correct, yes. The driveway stays right.
Can I make a recommendation that we'll be willing to work with your landscape expert to provide sufficient screening to satisfy his concerns?
I'm okay with that, except the fact that unless you're putting plantings in the driveway, I don't know how else you're going to resolve that.
Yeah, and there's also a gate going in right in front, so it's just drive in and there's a gate.
They have to go through the wooded area to do that.
Yeah, so it's like choice.
And then you got trees.
Right. If they wanted to put a bend in the driveway that you wouldn't see in, you're going to have to cut down a lot of trees. That's what you're saying?
Yes.
Yes.
That's an existing condition, but describe what you would see if you look up the driveway now where the existing generator is versus what you would see if you look up the driveway where the new generator is, the new transformer. I keep calling it a generator, it's a transformer.
So if you're looking up right now, your driveway comes in, there's a gate in here, and basically you'd see a clear area going through alongside the transformer. There are some small shrubs that are shown that are going to be removed where we're putting the Norway spruces, and there are also two existing Norway spruces there. So right now, as you're driving down the road right in front, the low shrubs would be put in. And again, that's for the existing electricity that's coming in, keeping anything out. But as you're driving down, you would just be able to see a gravel through with a fence right in front of you. Proposed condition to show, and we are showing that you would be able to come in and you would see, but then, so in essence, what would happen is this fence would go away right here. This fence stays. So you're losing that fence that's closer to the roadway or a fence that's further back. And then that fence will then have a grate, and then you would be able to see the transformer.
So unless they come on this outside, I don't know if there's a way to drive.
Well, the existing fence, the first gate, is not shown on the demo plan to be removed.
Say it again, please.
The first gate that the existing gate.
He's saying that this gate, we need to call it out to be removed.
Yeah, your demo plan, the only fence that you have shown on your right now on your plan is the fence for the bump out for the new transformer.
All right, my client is telling me that the existing gate is staying.
So could we, is there possible to do with something that can probably slap on the existing gates? That's not a safety fence. Yeah. That's not as much a safety fence as the secondary fence.
Yes.
Okay. Add privacy slats to the existing front gate.
Because that's not that, because that looks open. It looks like, I think you could walk around that gate. It looks like the fence ends. I think the safety fence, true safety fence with the barbed wire is further back.
Correct.
Do you need vehicle access directly to the transformer, or could you park a distance from it? Directly.
I would think for emergency services personnel, two people. We're
going
to work out the landscape.
Yeah, I think
he's...
Right, I think that's good enough. Anybody else have anything else right now? Do we...
What color is that green?
What color is what?
Brown.
Do you have any preference?
If you're doing black mesh, I would stick with black.
There you go. Okay.
Okay.
We might want to stay up there.
We do. We are going to have some. I guess I'll open it now to any.
Yeah, so why don't the questions you're going to ask, do they need to be next to that plant to enter, or can they be sitting down?
Mr. No, we don't need a plant.
Okay, so why don't you guys post it to the runway?
Yeah, does anybody have any questions for these folks or comments?
This is for questions of these guys only. Later, when you're all done, then you're going to get to make statements also. This is questions only. So first, you've got to identify yourself.
I'm Sandy McMullen.
Yeah, can you come up to the table also, man? Give the chair to the end of the table. All right.
You have to ask him face-to-face.
Sandy
McMullen, resident 45 Boston Hill Road, backyard neighbor.
McMullen,
McMullen. I've also made my living teaching electrician. And when this letter came out, all my neighbors, a little bit of knowledge is dangerous. They say 38 kV substation. I told them that 38,000 volts is normal distribution primary. He said, okay. And then they said 7-7000 capital MVA. They said, what in the world is that?
We asked him, what does that mean?
And so I said, I'm not going to presume. In my line of work, capital M is million, and VA is volt amps, similar to watts. So what is it?
Yeah, it's MVA is millivolt amps. It's the rating of the transformer.
We didn't hear what you just said.
I'm sorry, it's millivolt amps. I'm sorry, it's millions
you
of volt
milli?
Amps.
Millions
of volt amps. Millions
of volt
or amps.
Million.
Mega volt amps.
Mega, that's mega. What I thought.
Mega volt amps.
Capital M means mega, like mega million.
Five to 7,000 is 5,000 to 7,000 rating on that transformer, depending on whether it's air-cooled or whether it's fan-forced air-cooled.
Okay. So, mega volt amps, you're saying that's million volt amps. That's pretty sizable.
It is. Agreed.
What about the existing transformer?
Same size. These are exactly the same size. We're replacing one.
That's one. What was existing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Same size. We're replacing one for one.
Is there a concern that there was more?
Concerns from my view.
Thank you.
And it's exactly the same.
The testimony was it said it's a passive. The same physical dimensions vary somewhat because one's 45 years old and the new designs are a little different. But the capacity is the same. The footprint is basically the same.
Okay. The other thing, the structural question, the blast wall, is that actually an explosion diversionary wall?
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you. I'm having flashbacks to physics class. And I'm good.
This is good stuff.
All right. Anything else for these gentlemen from us, from anybody? Anything else from anybody else wants to make any comments and beyond asking about this testimony?
Mr. McMillan, do you want to make any sworn comments or you just had a question?
No, just they were concerned about the size.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So. Yeah, well, I was going to summarize it for right. So we've got a couple of variances. You want to just name three, I think.
Amended preliminary and final site plan approval to put in a replacement transformer. Put it in first. Get it online. Remove the old one. With a new pad, and the old pad comes out also. The variances are. Even though the existing transformer is 75 feet from the front property line, this is not a case where the grandfather, but if they were grandfathered, they'd be entitled to keep it right where it is. They are removing it. However, the MLU well, section 68 says if you have a total removal, you lose your grandfathering ability. So they're not entitled to have a new generator at 75 feet, but they've explained reasons, and you heard from your own plan on why there would be a C1 hardship variance to allow them to have the 75-foot setback, which is no closer than the old, than the existing. The other variances are the barbed wire on the fence, and that is to dissuade people from climbing the fence, and they agreed as a condition to put non-climbable black vinyl covered fencing with that, and the other C variance, which suggests that the C2, and I agree, is the height of the glass wall, which is 12 feet, and the maximum height under section 172.1 would be 6 feet. That's the application.
You want to go down the conditions?
Sure.
You want to read them, or you want me to read mine?
I'll read mine. We'll see if you pick up
anything. I got some.
I got the non-climbable 1-inch mesh fence shall be used throughout the property. Replace the existing fencing also. Black vinyl cover. I have had privacy slats to the existing front gate. It should be black slats. Then I have plan revisions. There's going to be a condition, no lighting. There's another condition, no signage other than code required signage. And here it is. And then there's plan revisions A through J. And then the board standard conditions from the rule. You have anything else?
You got all the ones that we discussed. I'm saying, is there a requirement to remove the old pack within some given time frame? A year or some other time frame?
Well, you should put a time frame in.
So I'm asking
you. Yeah,
can you get it done in a year?
How much time to remove the old transformer and remove the old pad?
Oh, I think a year would be more than enough time. Understanding the pads we're removing are within the existing fence. We're not making the existing pads smaller.
Understood. Right. Understood. This is more of
I think we have the equipment already.
Yeah, the
correct?
Equipment is...
He's not asking how much time to put the new one. He's asking how much time after you had to go up and running to take the old stuff out.
Even through a year out there, you know, what do you need?
Yeah, a year is more than enough time.
Got the new transformer?
Yeah, it's here. It's
that's
been
pretty impressive. It was,
it's been on order for a very long time.
So we agree good. To a year. You can throw that condition in there.
Okay.
Anything else anybody has up here or Tom? So for those three variances and those conditions, is there a motion? Thank you, Mr. Aversa. Is there a second? I'll second it. Roll call.
Yes. Mr. Aversa?
Yes.
Mr. Lenko?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhan?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. Sinai?
Yes.
Hey, thank you very much.
Thank you. Apologize for a little of the packages and the things.
Because the head went flying off one night.
We all feel that way.
safety board up before.
Should have had a health and safety expert retained about that fencing. You know?
We learned enough from the
package. No barbed wire in our application. Oh, he's down in the middle. Did you hear that? Thank you, Mr. Malay. Excuse me? Hey, you know, sometimes if I'm certain that everybody has a copy of the plan in front of them, I might have an extra for the public, but... Yeah.
And you didn't have the same one that she had, and the digital copies we had weren't...
I mean, you can't see that. People really need to have it right in front of them.
I have it right in front of me.
I can't see that. I know what it is. Mr. Wilson coming?
No.
Right, yeah, I don't see an issue with it. Just curious to know if perhaps he was trying to guess when to get here, given the agenda. What? I'm all for that. All for that. Absolutely.
Okay, you ready to start?
I'm just going
to read
ready?
The agenda. Yeah, let me just read this for the record. We went to public hearing on Chabad, Hunterdon County, 68 Payne Road. Applicant is seeking preliminary and final site plan approval pursuant to, I won't read the regulations, with exceptions pursuant to other code. Specifically, the applicant requests exceptions to the buffering and reforestation requirements of the land use regulations of the township of Clinton Cove. And I think that's enough to get us kicked off. The floor is yours.
For the record, the chairman...
Oh, Chairman Sine has recused himself, and I, Tom McCaffrey, am the... Right?
Chairman. But under our rules, the chairman refuses our absence, the vice chairman acts as the chairman. So next to you, really, recused. Yes.
Thank you. Nicole Boyd of Voight Law on behalf of applicant Chabad of Hunterdon County. Again, to refresh, this is 63 Payne Road, and that is Block 90, Lot 2.15. Here for amended preliminary and final site plan approval, I have provided...
Hold on one second. Since the planner is not going to participate in this application, can he go home? Because
yes.
You're not going to come off.
And there's no need to go
home. And also, blessing your escrow bill.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
No, thank you very much.
I'm not going to make up for...
Oh, it's very nice meeting you. I was going to say, is it any engineering is only landscaping?
This is a landscaping case. So, and the only two reports filed are the security expert and Jim. So,
Larry, I'll see you later. 4 o'clock.
So, maybe sooner.
Maybe you ready to meet before then, maybe?
Not yet.
All righty.
Bye. All nice meeting you. I'm going to be here.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Okay. We're shedding experts.
Perfect. Anybody else? No. John, you can stay. Do you stay, John?
Yeah.
Again, this is an application for amended and preliminary site plan approval, and it is just limited to landscaping. The exceptions that are being sought are pursuant to the municipal land use load, municipal land use law, and code section 165-82. This property is currently the subject of an already amended preliminary site plan approval with a conditional use approval and some C2 variances and exceptions to allow construction of a synagogue, community center, and religious education building and related site improvements that have been memorialized in a resolution, and some conditions of that were extended in applicant's materials. The approved site plan has been included as Exhibit 2. We do have an expert. I'm going to just do a quick overview here to kind of get us all primed up and get some stuff into the record. But we will go into these exhibits in more detail. The synagogue is currently constructed and is occupied pursuant to a temporary certificate of occupancy. The board granted modifications of conditions 12 and 14 of the original 2018 resolution a couple of times. The prior resolutions with respect to this matter are in applicant's record as exhibits 5 through 7. Again, it is a constructed synagogue with a temporary CO. There is currently a $345,000 and change landscape installation performance guarantee posted. The specific purpose of the amendment is requesting exceptions to the buffering and reforestation requirements of the land use regulations. This is code section 16577, landscape design. Such reasonable exceptions may be granted because the little enforcement of the buffering and reforestation design standards will result in practical difficulties and will exact undue hardship due to the peculiar security considerations that pertain to the development in question. Our presentation tonight will include Anthony Kearns, a law enforcement expert, who will confirm that the synagogue faces peculiar security considerations, which if not properly addressed will exact undue hardship. We also have Mike Medea, a landscape architect, who has prepared a revised landscape plan intended to balance these considerations, which is applicant's exhibit 1. By way of a prior resolution extending time to address this matter, the township retained Robert Wilson, a security consulting expert who is an expert in, as we learned from this board, crime prevention through environmental design, CPTDD. The applicant proposed security guidelines, which are enclosed as applicant's exhibit 3. Mr. Medea will provide testimony regarding the conformance of the proposed plan to the guidelines, and then we will walk through the letter of Mr. Mazzucco, your landscape architect. We also have the November 27, 2003 review letter of Mr. Wilson commenting positively on the application. The proposed revised landscape plan also includes the addition of an above-ground landscaping planter and benches in the vicinity of the building entrance, as recommended by security and law enforcement professionals. The proposed bench and planter concepts are included in the application as applicant's Exhibit 7, and assuming that this plan is approved, we ask that as a condition of the approval, the proposed planter, benches, and the proposed planter and benches be a condition of the approval, that it can be reviewed in final detail with those board professionals who would be appropriate, perhaps just Mr. Mazzucco. I don't know if you want your engineer or Mr. Wilson to also review. Mr. Wilson and Mr. Mazzucco?
Yeah.
And so we ask that that be a condition of approval. And then there are a few comments in Mr. Mazzucco's letter that Mr. Medea will address. So our witnesses tonight, we do have Rabbi L.A. Kornfeld, the director of Chabad, here in case you should have questions for him, but we're not going to put him on initially. And if you don't mind swearing in, Rabbi and Mr. Medea and Mr. Kearns.
Yes, I don't even want to swear in a rabbi. Let's just swear in, unless we need him later.
No.
Let's just swear in.
I don't think you'd have to swear in a rabbi, but, you know.
Let's swear in. How do you spell your last name?
M-E-D-E-A.
And are you a landscape architect or are you a landscape expert?
I'm a licensed landscape architect.
Okay. Right. And Mr. Kearns, I know that you're an attorney at law, but are you going to be qualifying him as a security expert?
Law enforcement. I will pitch that he's a law enforcement expert familiar with the threats, and you can take him as whatever form of witness you'll accept.
Sorry.
Raise your hands. Everyone swear or affirm. The testimony you're going to give in the title is the truth. Yes. All right, so first, Mr. Kearns, would you kindly come forward and take a seat and introduce to the board your qualifications as a law enforcement expert so they may consider accepting you as an expert in law enforcement and the threats that face Chabad?
Sure. I initially thought I was here because Mr. Semay was accused. I thought that's why I was here. But good evening. Thank you all. I had the privilege to serve as the Hunterdon County Prosecutor for almost nine years, from 2010 to 2019. During the course of that tenure. I was the chief law enforcement officer for the county of Hunterdon. I was involved with my own SWAT team that I took part in hiring. I attended multiple conferences on Homeland Security in Boston after the Boston Marathon, up in Connecticut, the Sandy Hook incident, in New York City at Police One Plaza. During that time, it was my obligation to make sure, to the best of my ability and the best of the ability of the people I supervised, to make sure our own homeland, our own county, was safe. And that very much included houses of worship and other SWAT targets, including the hospital and certain businesses.
And so does the board accept Mr. Kearns as an expert in law enforcement?
Anyone in the audience have any questions? I guess I'll okay. Anyone in the audience that's not here on behalf of the applicant?
Just a question. I understand Mr. Kearns' background. With specific designations for other experts, licensed landscape?
Those are professionals.
Correct.
You can be an expert without being
a licensed
professional. He, in my opinion, he can absolutely, based on, you guys have to make the decision, but he can absolutely be a law enforcement expert.
Without being a professional. Two different categories. That answers my question.
He's a professional as an attorney, but that's got nothing to do with
right, that's a different use of the word.
Correct. I believe he can be accepted as a law enforcement expert based on his qualifications and regardless of if there's no professional designation.
Got it. Okay. Anyone have any questions?
No.
No. Okay.
You're going to accept him as a law enforcement expert?
Yeah. Is that the term we're using? Law enforcement expert?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So knowing the board can ask what follow-up questions it desires, if you would briefly lay out for the board a few things. I'll itemize them now, and then I'll just let you speak. One would be that to discuss the peculiar considerations that face the synagogue that warrant security concerns that must be addressed through landscape design. Second is to confirm that you have reviewed the security guidelines in the applicant's Exhibit 3 and that you agree that they are of the nature that you would want to see in your experience in things such as the SWAT team response.
Sure, and thank you. The first question that you asked was, what was the first question you asked?
Right, it was two categories. What's another one? I mean, I don't. Okay. Would you please address
peculiar, that's right. So, when the rabbi approached me and asked me about the Chabad and security, we were even in a different time than we are right now. I think we're in a heightened sensitivity concern for the Jewish population after what's gone on in Israel and in the Middle East, and just takes listening to the news to hear the vitriol and backlash towards the Jewish community. The Chabad sits on Route 31, not far off of Route 78. It has easy access both to and from, and the idea would be to make it as safe as possible in terms of any threat, and that would include being as open and visible as possible. It would be quite easy, based on that landscape that I've seen and witnessed, for people to lie in wait. Nothing's going to be perfect, of course, but I think the idea is to minimize the threat as best as possible. There's certain things that aren't going to be able to happen, but...
And may I interrupt you? One thing I would prefer to do is not be on the public record with vulnerabilities. What I'm really going for here is that if we were to compare this particular use to, let's say, the Wawa down the street, what makes this use one that would warrant security considerations? And you've pretty much said it. I mean, we're really just creating a record for something I think we all know and are deeply concerned about.
There's a heightened safety concern for Jewish institutions right now due to the Israel-Gaza war and anti-Semitism among the
Yes, I agree.
The left and lower right there. And he said Chabad is located right on Route 31, easy access, and not the existing, but the approved landscape plan caused you concern.
Correct.
So explain why the approved landscape plan caused you concern, and then what the proposed plan without going into too many details.
Without going into keeping it general, the idea is to keep an open sight line as best as possible. The existing plan calls for what might be quite aesthetically pleasing, but calls for with the types of trees and bushes, etc., creates camouflage, creates places of
places where people could hide.
Places where people could hide, yes.
And you've reviewed the security guidelines that were Exhibit C that included suggestions such as the 2-foot, 6-foot rule, which I'll allow Mr.
I looked at that, and I agree with that. I've had the opportunity for some time to review both Clinton Township Police Department's report, the Sheriff's report, and your own expert's report, and I agree with the vast majority of what is in those reports.
So they will result in an improvement in the security the conditions on the site in terms of the time frame for response, such as the ones you are responsible for in your capacity.
And the proposed landscaping plan that we have for us this evening that was done in the consultation with our consultant.
Yes.
In your estimation?
I think that's a far improved plan, creating a heightened security, an improved security. Yes.
And John, to address your question earlier, I do recognize one person not a member of our team in the public. I'm not sure if we do have questions in the public.
Okay.
We'll get to them later.
He's okay with the proposed plan, right? He's
proposed, yes.
There's an approved plan, there's an existing look out there, and there's a proposed plan. So if the planner is going to say was the approved plan caused him concern. The proposed plan sees his concerns. I heard him saying, I wrote down my notes, the proposed plan will result in improved security not for the site. That's what you said.
Yes.
Okay. Question? I'll get to the public in a second. No questions? You know that? Okay. Is there anyone in the public that would like to ask questions of this witness? No, that's a no. Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Good evening.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, thank you.
Next, we have Mr. Medea. We'll first get him qualified as an expert. Mike, have you been before this board as an expert before?
I have been, not in recent history, but it's been quite some time.
All right, why don't you review your qualifications for the board, too? Consider you as an expert.
I have a Bachelor of Science Landscape Architecture from Rutgers University, graduate 1992. Received my license for landscape architecture in 2000. I've worked primarily in Hunterdon, Somerset, and Morris counties. Residential design build is my mainstay, but I do get involved in these types of projects from time to time. I own and operate my own business out of California, New Jersey, Medea Landscape Studio.
And you've testified? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
A long time ago.
Yeah, okay. Well, no,
I was going to ask him if he's testified before other boards in the area.
Yes, Raritan Township, Tewksbury, several, mostly in Hunterdon County.
Okay. Questions? That's disqualifications? No? Good.
I have
good.
One question.
Go ahead.
You, when a subcommittee went out to the site, it was not with him, correct?
He was there.
Yeah, he was there.
He was there.
He was there.
With you.
No, you're talking about the original landscape architect was a different person.
Okay.
Yes.
When we went out with Bob Wilson, Mike was there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I cleaned up a little bit.
Any questions from the public as to his qualifications? I see none. He's acceptable as a landscape architectural.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Want to give a presentation?
Okay. So I'm going to start with what's existing on the site. This is the an existing conditions plan of what's currently there.
Do us a favor. You have your exhibit list. What's the existing conditions plan?
The existing conditions plan is exhibit 001. Exhibit 1.
What's the date on the one you're showing us?
Revision date of October 1st.
How about November 22, 2023?
That's what's on.
I am sorry, November 22nd, 23rd.
All right.
Which page are you on again, please?
This is page 1 of 3 of my plan set.
This is the one that came. The whole produced an exhibit.
Oh, this is the amendment.
Yeah, and it had all the. It's actually very well organized.
Thank you.
Okay. Very easy to use.
So the existing condition, I think some of us have been to the site, basically just documents what is currently planted on the property. And this is what we started with, and this is what was reviewed by Mr. Wilson's security consultant, as along with the proposed plan, which you also have a copy of. But this plan just shows the trees, evergreens, existing plantings that are currently on site. From here, in a response to the security report, I prepared a proposed plan, which I can go over with you. This is, if anyone has any questions on existing conditions, otherwise I'll move to the proposed plan.
Proposed plan is exhibit.
It's a page of Exhibit 1, I believe. Is that correct, Mike?
I think it's 002.
No, I think it's 002 is the approved plan.
Yeah, so
it's the approved. Yeah, Mike put the.
That's correct. The existing plan and the proposed plan.
Yes, it is.
There's three pages to the plan set. First is existing conditions, the second is proposed, and the third page is plant list and notes.
Okay, so sheet 1 of 3 would be existing, and sheet 2 of 3 is the proposed.
Correct. So I think the easiest way to go through the plan is basically to go step by step with the guidelines, which is how I. So that just highlighted the first, you know, basically in the top of the guidelines, ensuring the spaces are designed in a way that makes it easy for people to observe and monitor activities.
And also, guidelines, that exhibit 002?
Correct. 003, yes.
And Nicole, can you make a representation how those security guidelines were put together?
Yes, in consultation with the, we had a site walk where the township's landscape architect and the township's security expert, Mr. Wilson, were in attendance along with Mr. Medea, myself and our client, and Mr. Kearns and Mr. Drill.
Yeah, and
the
two committee members, can you identify yourselves?
Mr. McCaffrey, Tom McCaffrey was one of them.
Mr. Aversa?
Is there a third committee member there?
No, there was, but he couldn't make it, John Higgins.
He was ill that day.
Oh, okay. So in any event, when we walked that, we learned much about the site and the security considerations. We then found it helpful to reduce our understanding of what we took away from that site to writing and to confirm that we were in agreement with the takeaway talking points with respect to security considerations as guided by Mr. Wilson and his expertise in crime prevention through environmental design. And
back and forth between Mr. Medina started the document, went to you, then went to me, it went to Mr. Wilson, it went to the board's landscape architectural expert, went back to you, came back to me, went to the subcommittee, came back to me, mm-hmm. went to them, came back to me, went to you, and then you eventually, you got them, there was an agreement. Is that basically how it happened?
Yes. Yes, it was helpful. Very helpful. We appreciate the township working with us in that respect. The only thing I would offer technically is that Mike and I compared notes and I did the initial drafting based upon our compared notes. And of course, Rabbi Kornfeld had his own notes as well. So in any event, what I think Mike really intends to tell you right now is how he did his best to conform the plan you're looking at to those guidelines.
All right, so guideline number one here basically mentions the 2 to 6 foot rule. Rule to allow for clear line of sight, no shrub above 2 foot, no tree to be limbed or have limbs below 6 foot. That was handled on the site in a few different ways. As we walk through the guidelines, that'll become more clear. That is also specifically spelled out on the third page here in a plan note. New landscaping shall be deciduous trees. What that essentially says is all evergreens are to be removed from the site, with the exception of one location, which will come up in a future note down the list here as well.
Yeah, it looks like you're going from 75 to 17 total.
Yes, correct.
Currently on
the site. Yes. And then 1C, while the general recommendations were to plant deciduous shade trees, that means deciduous, there are varying factors on the site that might not allow for that. One area that was discussed was the basin and the embankment, the slope in the basement, the basin itself. Prevents that guideline from being followed. So we basically had to plant downslope from the top of the basin. Guideline number 2 talks about buffering. 2A, update the landscape plan to reflect all existing established natural vegetation buffers and trees. There was much conversation on site making sure that all existing vegetation, mature vegetation was shown and represented on the plan. So we went through and identified in some different areas what natural vegetation exists. And there was a large clump of trees here on Payne Road, and then a couple along the parking lot here, one in the lawn behind the building, and a couple in the wood line. So that was all updated on the plan. So the next section talks about relocate viable evergreens along Payne Road, west of the first telephone pole. This is specific to territorial reinforcement. I'm not a security expert. I'm not going to speak to the reasoning behind that. But this area is where it's referring to. Below this existing mass of trees, we relocated white pine and cedars. And those trees were selected to be transplanted because they're native varieties. And that's actually in the riparian buffer in that area. Eliminate from the plan all vegetative buffers with the exception of any buffers which remain in accordance with paragraph 2. Replace where you can, basically we're omitting the evergreens in the buffers and replacing where we can and where we have the space to do so with shade trees. There's some areas behind the basin here, shade trees are located along the parking lot, along this line, property line here behind the septic. Those were all areas where shade trees were added. Remove evergreens but do not allow for the 2 to 6 foot rule in these areas, behind the daycare, behind the synagogue, near the entrance, and in the stormwater basin. So that's essentially the most, pretty much the entire site, with the exception of this area here. Plantings for the purpose of reforestation. So this area here on the original set of plans was all slated for reforestation. In the security guidelines further down, this line and this line indicate an area that must remain clear of planting. So no reforestation plantings are proposed in this area, which leaves us with this space up in here. So that area is planted with a couple different varieties of shade trees, 12 foot on center, overlapping masses to give it more of an organic feel. But that's the area that we have left to plant for the reforestation purpose. Again, it mentions 10 to 12 foot on center, the 2 to 6 foot rule, which is mentioned throughout the notes, the guidelines. Update the landscape plan to show existing trees that were omitted. That was just basically kind of locating some trees that were omitted early on before construction. So they're represented on the plan here.
Those are trees that exist and will remain?
Those are trees that did exist and were removed prior. Number four, avoid blocking lines of sight from Payne Road and near the entrance altogether. Do not install. So basically what this is in quick summary, along Payne Road, the entrance is here. There's planting along Payne Road. Omit all the evergreens, no new trees, and add low shrubs. So all the evergreens were removed. No new deciduous trees were added, but we did add some low shrubs here and here, flanking the entrance. Maintain a clear and open area behind the daycare facility, rear of the property, with minimally required shade trees needed to shade the daycare lawn. So that was what I mentioned previously. The daycare facility is here. This line and this line indicate an area behind the facility which should remain clear, primarily clear of planting, so that there's a clear line of sight. This is an existing large oak tree, and a few shade trees were spotted along in the lawn area for some shade. But for the most part, it remains open.
Bless you.
All right. Number six talks about the retention basin. Remove lower shrubs from the top of the retention basin. So I mentioned prior that because of the slope, we want to avoid planting on top of the slope, which just makes the shrub massing even taller because if you're standing behind them, they feel taller than they actually are. So all the plantings were pulled from the top of the slope into the basin itself, and some shrub massing was added in there. And evergreen trees on the basin berm are to be replaced with deciduous trees, which they were. Number seven talks about entrance barriers, which I'm not going to speak to, but that refers to the security benches and planters that will be located at the front of the building.
Right. There's a separate exhibit on that, right?
There is. If you don't mind, Mike, you agree to locate them on the plan once final decisions have been made.
Yeah.
And we don't really plan to present much other than to point you to the exhibit that shows you the examples.
Right, you're asking that the board approve the revisions to the landscape plan but subject to a condition that the benches and the planter barriers be reviewed, that the board delegate the review and approval to the board of landscape architectural experts and the board of security experts.
Yes, and they'll be located.
The board might want to have the same subcommittee because this board, a couple, the planning board, and especially the board of adjustment, not as much the planning board, but Tom came from the board of adjustment. Occasionally, they created subcommittees so that the board, instead of just delegating professionals, they at least had a couple board members on the committee making that decision. But you guys can talk about that later.
As a professional, I will represent them on my plan, but refer to somebody else that would spacing size, location, installation, all that would be...
We'll have it approved by Mr. Weston.
It would be accurately reflected on the plan, the station, location of it?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
But at that, I'm going to receive that information from...
We don't care where you get it from. Just when we look at the plan, it's in the right place.
Yes, it'll be on the plan, but yes.
But it's both accuracy and outward.
Mr. Medea is not making any representations in his testimony nor on his plan with respect to the effectiveness of the security measures.
Right. Well, that wasn't the question, though. It was the size and the
that's
location.
That's the answer he's giving you. I do understand.
I will depict those devices on my plan and represent
them. That was the question, whether he's going to show them in the correct location on the plan. So we pick up the plan and say that's exactly where they are.
Yes.
And this is the size.
Yes.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do we, because he's marked that up with color, does he have to mark that?
He has marked it up with color.
He did. He added some color.
You're telling me that is different than...
It's the same plan with the marker on, with marker on it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much there, Brian.
Good catch.
But that's going to be, we have these exhibit numbers, 01202.
Because that's a lot easier on the eyes, by the way.
Would it make sense to add it as a sheet 4 to exhibit 1? Or, no.
So, can you bring that over to me, please? Is this the only one that you colored in here?
Yes.
Did you color it yourself?
That's what we get in here.
I can scan it with my cell phone, Mike.
I'm not kidding. Well, that's coloring again. Okay, so the first thing, you get your cell phone now. This is going to be in the office. You guys should take a cell phone shot and you take a cell phone shot for the file. Here, let's continue.
Yes, sir.
After the hearing, can I lay it on the floor and scan it? Because I have a way of scanning it.
Yeah.
I can't deal with photos.
I'm going to have one more time. I'm going to just bring it up. Sorry about this.
How do you scan it, Nicole? What do you use?
I use an app. I do this when I do doc review in offices. I just lay it on the floor, and I do it by phone as squarely over the top as I can using TurboScan. And it does a really good job.
Yeah, and what do you end up with, a PDF?
I can select what I scan it as, but I do prefer the PDF.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes
they need to go on
paper like
when
stuff isn't.
Yeah.
The last section of the guideline refers to banked parking. The original plan set, not prepared by me, had a banked area that was not going to be installed. That's not currently happening. So after discussion with everybody, all the professionals, it was determined that a note on the plan would basically say if that bank parking ever becomes a reality, that it would need to go in front of your professionals. And
that's a note on
that's sheet a note three. On sheet 3.
And can you show everyone on sheet 2 where that bank parking area is?
The bank parking would extend beyond the existing parking and towards Route 31.
It was shown on over and drops down a little bit too.
So just to be clear then, if that bank parking, which is approved currently, is to be constructed. They cannot construct it at the bottom until they come for a planning board approval for the landscape.
Can you read the note? Let me read the note so you hear exactly. I believe it's delegated to the board of professionals.
Okay.
So let's just read the note.
At this time, banked parking option and associated plantings as detailed on approved plan set dated 2/20/23 shall not be initiated. At such time that owner decides to initiate banked parking, planting shall be installed in such a manner that it remains consistent with herein amended planting density and equally considered security guidelines provided. Plan shall be submitted to Township Landscape Architect for approval.
Okay, and then you have some notes on the plantings to work through Mr. Mizuko's review letter.
We did receive a review letter, basically...
It's dated December 1, 2023.
And this had the least number of comments in any promo that he's ever done by any application to the planning board or the board of adjustment, but as long as he has been the landscape
architect. Well, there was a lot of discussion before.
I'm just saying, the report.
Yes.
We covered a lot of the comments prior to this date. Basically, just asking for to introduce a more of a variety of the shade trees, which is...
Put it this way. Do you agree?
I agree, yeah.
So there's two comments or conditions?
Yes.
And actually, it's only if you agree with the first one of the conditions,
first
the second one like an editorial comment.
Right.
That's the case.
Thank you.
So that's the plan. If there's any questions, I can...
No questions?
My only question then would be, what kind of a motion would we be making?
Is there a public?
My only question would be, does anyone in the public have any questions?
You left.
So, if I take it that the board is favorably inclined, so it would be a motion to grant amended preliminary and final site plan approval with the landscape exception that they outline as needed, and our landscape architect, if he agrees that those exceptions under the circumstances should be granted based on the testimony of their law enforcement expert, who said that there were particular considerations that pertain to synagogues in general and landscape design, and that the proposed plan results in improved security on this particular site. Is that your opinion?
Am I commenting on security or planting?
Planting,
yes.
The security we gather from the security expert.
Well, correct. And the reason the security expert's not here is because they agree 100% that his report dated 127.
Do we have any conditions here? We have conditions from 2303.
Anyone may get the plan planted quicker so we can make more trees.
They have any specific things.
Correct. Are you going to put that in this resolution, or is that last resolution still in effect?
Still in effect.
Yeah, you want to be able to swear.
Okay, and that's the... Correct.
You did, you asked for that already?
No.
Okay, yeah. Excuse me. Rabbi has advised that he would like the board to consider allowing substitutions if they are approved by Mr. Mizuko in the final planting species.
Just in case, my thought was, just in case there were some things that were a back order and it was something that the landscape would say, okay, you know, you can shade that out, it's the same thing, so we don't run out of time. Because I know that sometimes there are things that are more available than others.
Jim's not uncomfortable.
I'm
okay
with it,
yes. Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Hold on, I got to make myself...
In the condition would be in the event certain plant things that are specified on the plan are not available.
Plants are specified on the plan are not available.
Substitution may be made with the approval.
Maybe if approved by.
Yeah.
And that's an important phrase. You're doing it because they're not available.
Right.
Not because
they want to make a change.
Right. Good. Good statement.
John, is there anything we need to discuss with respect to the timing and CO?
So you've just satisfied condition 18. Resolution 2023-01, which was amended in Resolution 2023-03, which was submit the complete application for a mini preliminary and final no later than January 31. And so the remaining condition is the remaining condition 12 of the original final site plan resolution from 2018-01, which was amended like three times. The final amendment is in 2022-03. Number 12 says time within which to obtain permanent certificate of occupancy. The applicant shall have until June 2024 to obtain a permanent certificate of occupancy. So can you do this by June 30th, 2024?
And my question is there a time frame from which time we request a review of the actual plantings? No, let's say we said we finished planting everything.
Compliance review.
We'd like the landscape architect to come and review it to see that it's done correctly. Is there some time frame?
He's very good.
No.
He's asking, basically, I have to prepare a review memo saying that it's been installed for the application.
I don't want to run out of time.
And what is your official planting season now?
Great question.
The planting is April 15 to November 15.
So I think we're a little tight here.
That's all. That's my only concern.
This is up to you guys. Right now, it's June 30th, which is basically in the middle of the planting season. It's up to you if you want to kick it out to November 30th or leave it.
Okay. So the rabbi's question was, from the time that you call and say, Jim, come out and look at it, how long does he have?
We're not going to put it. I recommend the case putting condition. I don't recommend.
No. I don't think that's what.
No, he's not asking that at all. He wants to understand the process so that he can have an understanding of the time that would be required.
I think what he's saying is it's going to take some time to line up the landscaper, get the stuff ordered, get it delivered, get it installed, and then by the time it's finally all installed, assuming there are.
Is there somewhere between June 30th and November that is
that Jim still have enough time to come out and do the inspection and do a report?
Doesn't take long to do a report. Okay. Once you get the stuff in, you call and say, hey, Jim, the stuff's in. He takes that plan, he goes out there, and he walks around like we did on the day when you were out there.
May I ask for just slightly more time so that, because your meetings are the first week of the month, and we're talking about a deadline at the end of the month. I mean, even a couple of weeks might allow us needing to ask for an extension.
The planning board's meeting in July. Probably around July 4th, maybe. But we have two meetings.
I mean,
do
we just kick it out to August 31st?
July 1st and July 16th.
What's that?
Are the July meetings.
I could go to August. Okay.
If you want to go to August, your meetings in August are August 5 and August 19th. So I suggest you go to August 19th.
Okay.
So if you go to August 19th, you go into a day prior to August 19th.
Well, that's our meeting.
The meeting day is August 19th. You don't want them to run out of time before the 19th.
But you can't call me on the 17th.
Correct.
That would be unreasonable.
If they can.
But they should have 3 full months.
And I do think that was the nature of the question, is what is reasonable timing to allow? Like, does he allow month for review, 2 weeks for review, what kind of lead time?
2 hours would be nice to get notice to do an inspection, and it'll take me a day or two to put a report together. Yeah.
Just don't leave it to like the week before, because Jim could be on vacation.
Sure.
And then in that case.
Thank you.
Not that I don't like seeing the rabbi.
Right. We're running out of time.
Okay. Someone want to?
There's no more conditions and no other open issues, right? Just like
you were
saying. I'll make a motion subject to the conditions. I'll second it.
Okay.
Mr. Urso?
Yes.
Ms. Cunningham?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you, everyone, for your
John.
Efforts.
Thank you.
Okay.
And I'm going to take a minute to scan this plan. Could you lay up? I want to scan it under, right under a light.
Thank you. Great.
even if less than half the board here, in my suggestion, we don't try to cover anything else.
The only thing I would like to write a very brief report, and that brief report is on the agenda for us, hopefully next meeting, the council on the board. Authorizing purchase of the new office.
Nice.
Okay. Very nice. Anyone who's ever tried to listen to it, they think, no, fine.
Anything else you want to talk about? Taylor, you anything? What do we have coming down the
thank you.
Line?
Have a good night. Thank you.
Good luck. Happy plantings. Anything we have in the pipe? Okay. All right. Trying to get anything for us? Jim? Motion to adjourn? And a second. All in favor? No roll call needed. To adjourn?